Hello and welcome to the programme. A ceasefire in Ukraine remains a distant prospect, to say nothing of an actual peace settlement. US diplomatic efforts in Moscow have bogged down with no compromise in sight on the fundamental issues, especially the territorial ones. Meanwhile, the EU seems to be relegated to a relatively minor diplomatic role, reacting to the Trump plan with a counterproposal and continuing to hold meetings of the Coalition of the Willing to help Ukraine. We're going to decode all of this with our two guests. András László is a Hungarian MEP, a member of the Patriots for Europe group, and a member of Fidesz, the ruling party in Hungary. He joins me from Budapest. And Tobias Krämer is a German MEP from the Socialists and Democrats, and he joins me from Brussels. Thank you so much to both of you, gentlemen, for being on the program. Maybe I can start with you, Tobias Krämer, because we now have this interesting development of the US negotiating team coming from Moscow. So they finished the talks with President Putin. They skipped Brussels, went straight to America, to Florida, to meet with the Ukrainian negotiator. One French newspaper describes this as a humiliation for the Europeans. Do you agree with that?
I mean, I'll be entirely honest, if it brings peace, I wouldn't even mind, but the problem is that I don't think it will bring peace. What we are seeing at the moment is a negotiation tactic on the American side, where they used a 28-point plan that wasn't a peace plan at all, but that was Putin's wish list for Santa. But in some ways, I'm not that surprised, because what else do we expect if it's not Europeans negotiating about European security, but Americans and Russians trying even to cut the Ukrainians out. And that's the problem. If you talk about international relations, we have a saying that if you aren't at the table, you end up being on the menu. And I'm a bit worried that this might be happening to us right now. And this is why it's so important right now that Europe finally takes the initiative, uses the strength it has, uses the levers it has, and really puts pressure on Russia, brings its own point over. We are quite good at reacting, and we have changed the 28-point to 19-point plan, but I want a European initiative. I want that we finally take responsibility and don't just wait for the Americans, because I don't think that in this respect waiting for Trump is much more promising than waiting for Santa Claus.
Okay, let's go to András László in Budapest. You've said, where are the European peacemakers? Can you imagine Ursula von der Leyen or Kaya Kallas negotiating a lasting peace? So for you, is it a problem of the EU individuals and personalities, or a deeper problem of a lack of vision?
There's a lack of strategy, there's a lack of vision, and there's a lack of competence on behalf of EU institution leaders. If they have wanted to propose a plan for peace in Europe and peace in Ukraine, they could have done so in the last 3.5 years, and they didn't. And then when last year in November, Donald Trump won the presidency again, it was obvious that the United States would change strategy when it comes to Ukraine, and they would want to achieve peace as soon as possible. Even then, there was a window of several months when the European Union and European EU institution leaders could have come up with an European initiative to shutting down this war, to ending this war, and bringing peace to Europe with the interests of Europe in mind. This didn't happen. The problem is not so much only, not necessarily just the EU institutions, Ursula von der Leyen or Kaya Kallas. No one actually believes that they have the weight to actually achieve a negotiated peace in Ukraine. What's more worrying is the domestic weakness and instability in France, in Germany. These are the two countries which led the negotiations in 2014, but these both countries have leaders who are very unpopular and face a lot of domestic pressure and difficulties at home. So currently, the EU is mostly leaderless.
Just to come back to Tobias Krämer, because I think you both agree, at least nominally, that there's a need for a specific European initiative, that Europe shouldn't just be reacting. But obviously you don't agree on the content of what a peace would actually be based on. And Tobias Krämer, you've talked about a peace with liberty and a peace without liberty.
Yes, absolutely. And I think this is, in some ways, as you said, we can agree that I want more European initiatives. But what I want is real negotiations. And I'm a diplomat by training. I know that it's easy to capitulate. It's easy to surrender. If you just say, like, I have contact to Putin, I can call him to surrender. We all can do that. What we have to get ourselves into is a position of strength to force Putin to the negotiating table. We have to change Putin's calculus. He still thinks he's winning this war, which is actually not necessarily, it's not God-given. We can change that calculus. We have 200 billion Russian frozen assets in Europe that actually could change his calculus. We could use that as a lever for peace. Our economy is 10 times bigger than that of Russia. We need to get into a position of strength and then negotiate. And these are then real negotiations. We need a negotiated settlement. But you don't get that by surrendering. You only get that if you put yourself in a position of strength.
I want to switch topics a little bit and look at the role that the Hungarian Prime Minister is playing. Not for the first time, he's setting himself up as a kind of negotiator on the war in Ukraine. And, of course, he angered Brussels with a visit to the Kremlin on November the 28th. Let's take a listen to an extract of what Viktor Orbán had to say at that meeting with Vladimir Putin.
Hungary is interested in peace, and we sincerely hope that the peace proposals on the table will lead to a ceasefire and peace. And we've not given up any area of cooperation with Russia under any external pressure.
András László, critics have said this meeting was actually about securing Hungary's energy supplies and perhaps boosting Mr. Orbán's re-election prospects rather than about peace. I'm guessing you don't agree with that take on the situation.
The Hungarian government has offered to be a mediator for peace and host peace talks already a few days or maybe the day after the war began in 2022. The Prime Minister, Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orbán, he engaged on a peace mission last summer in 2024 when Hungary took over the EU presidency of the Council. He visited Kiev, Moscow, Beijing, then he talked to NATO allies. He wrote a report, what he thinks, what he heard from other leaders to EU leaders to help get something going, get some kind of negotiation started. Let's have a more proactive European approach. The response by the new European Parliament and the response by many other leaders in member states and EU institutions was ridicule or a direct attack against this. Hungary is pursuing the exact same policy we have said since day one, is that European interest is to have peace restored in Europe as soon as possible. Unfortunately, as we've already discussed, there's no such initiative even today on behalf of the European Union. We need something more than just saying that we need peace with liberty. That doesn't mean anything. There's a concrete situation on the ground. There's concrete now assessment could be made of the sanctions policy, how it has shifted trade. This war has been going on for more than 3.5 years. There's a lot of lessons learned politically, economically, on energy and diplomatically. And yet the EU is not willing to make these assessments and draw the conclusions.
Tobias Krämer, your thoughts on Viktor Orbán's diplomacy, not just this time in the Kremlin, but as your colleague was saying, he made various previous visits and other initiatives that he's carried out.
I mean, Viktor Orbán is free to travel wherever he wants. If he wants to spend his holidays in Moscow or Beijing, he's very welcome to that. But as Mr. Laszlo already mentioned, nobody's taking him serious with that. And the problem is because he's not there defending European interests. He's basically saying, I'm stepping out of the European interest. And neither Trump nor Moscow nor Putin will eventually make an exception for him. I think we need to understand that we are in this together. Hungary, as well as every other European member states, Putin is attacking us in a hybrid manner already now. We are seeing drones over our own cities. We are seeing hybrid attacks every day. We are seeing Russian bots interfering in our elections. We need to understand that this is not just about territory in Ukraine. Putin is scared, not of NATO, I wish he was more scared of NATO. Putin is scared of the European Union because we are successful liberal democracies. And that is undermining the lives of his own government. And this is why he will continue to undermine our democracies, trying to divide us, trying to split us apart within Europe and Europe and America. And this is why we need to be strong. And I would really wish for also the Hungarian Prime Minister to understand that and help to contribute not to European disunity, but to European unity and understand we are in this together and our safety is interdependent.
I want to just quickly touch on one other issue, which is important because we don't have a lot of time left, on the issue of these frozen assets, the Russian frozen assets, which are in Euroclear in Belgium. You alluded to this before, Tobias Krämer. Let's go back to Budapest and to András László. Do you think there should be a funding solution for Ukraine in some way for 2026 and 2027, whether it's using Euroclear or a loan or some other instrument?
Ursula von der Leyen has proposed an additional 135 billion euros, if I'm not mistaken, for Ukraine, despite the massive corruption scandals in Ukraine. The problem of the financing is not a technical problem. The problem is, where's the strategy? More funding, hundreds of billions more euros into Ukraine without a strategy for peace is basically just kicking the can down the road and putting Europe into an even bigger debt crisis we are facing. I think there's a very big problem with mentality. Many people still think in terms of the post-Cold War, end of history, Francis Fukuyama mentality, that liberal democracy has won, that's the only future, and it will bring peace and prosperity to all of the world. This has failed. We are at the end of history. We need a more realistic approach to global politics, to global power relations, and EU needs to be looking out for its own interests, and the EU's interest is peace as soon as possible in Europe.
Okay, Tobias Krämer, you did actually talk to us about frozen assets earlier, in fairness, so I won't go back to you on that because we've really come to the end of this program. But I'd like to thank both of you for joining, András László in Budapest and Tobias Krämer from Brussels. That's all for this episode of Talking Europe. Thanks for being with us.